And if you do have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, which Ben read for us before, and also Amelia shared part of before. Well, we've seen Amelia be baptized, and what a joy it is to be able to celebrate her death and resurrection in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I imagine for many of us sitting here, there's a lot that seems very strange about what's gone on so far. Firstly, Amelia talked a lot about dying or being dead. And I emphasized that going under the water meant dying with Christ. It might seem quite a strange thing to discuss, particularly with such a young woman. And then we talked about being raised to new life. Now, again, we could maybe understand that if it was a newborn baby, but Amelia's been alive for quite a long time now. In what way can we truly say that she has been made alive? And also for Amelia, it's good to be thinking about what it is that she's done this morning. It could be something that's been built up for so long, starts to feel like it's inevitable. We forget what it celebrates. Well, the passage in Ephesians 2 that we have here is one in which Paul explains to a bunch of people who are already Christians, who've already been saved, what happened to them in their life of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, dying and rising again. As he explains this, he hopes that they'll get a deeper understanding of what it is that the Lord Jesus did for them. And my hope is that this morning, as we look at this passage, we'll have a greater understanding of what the Lord Jesus has done for Amelia. If you're a Christian, of what the Lord Jesus has done for you. And if you're not, what the Lord Jesus could do for you if you turn to him like Amelia has done. There's three simple things that this passage teaches us today. And I'm sorry to say, Amelia, we're going to embarrass you because this is going to be the one sermon. Sometimes people say, felt like that sermon was directed totally to me. Well, today it definitely is directed totally to you. Because our first point is, Amelia was dead. Our second point is, Amelia was made alive. And thirdly, Amelia was gifted. Amelia was dead, Amelia was raised to life, was made alive, and Amelia was gifted. So the first part of that, Amelia was dead. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Transgressions and sins, they're both just fancy ways of saying the times that we've broken God's law. And remember, Paul isn't speaking to a particularly bad group of people, a particularly terrible group of people. He's speaking to all the Christians in the church at Ephesus. And he says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's how bad your situation was. And then he kind of goes further and explains different things that this means. So first of all, he explains that being dead meant following the ways of this world. Verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Now, perhaps many of us can think back to times when we followed the crowd and we've come to regret it. We've just gone along with everyone else, done what everyone else has done. And actually, deep down, we know that it's wrong. That's part of being dead in transgressions and sins. We just automatically follow the ways of this world. It carries on. Followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's a description of Satan. Now, if you've never thought about the Bible before, you've probably got an image of Satan from Tom and Jerry or The Simpsons, a kind of red man with a pointy stick. That's not who the devil of the Bible is. No, the devil of the Bible is a spirit who whispers in our ear that we should break God's law. And we follow that whispering. We disobey God's law time and time again. That's what being dead in transgressions and sin means. And moreover, being dead in transgressions and sins means gratifying the cravings of our flesh. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Now, the flesh there isn't just the body. It's not wrong, for example, to feel like you need food in your body and to go and get food. The flesh is used in the Bible to describe sinful desires, desires against God. We think, I'd love to do that, but I know that it's wrong. And yet we go along with it. Now we do what our desires lead us to do. And then finally it says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We're deserving of God's punishment. God's punishment is eternal condemnation in hell. And that seems to us like too much, too high a price I have to pay for breaking a few petty rules. But the problem is we don't see how serious our sin is. As Paul says here, we deserve wrath. That's how serious Emilia's situation was. As a young child, even though she'd been raised by Christian parents and been taught God's word, even though she'd gone to church pretty much every Sunday of her life, even though no doubt she was a good girl at school and generally well behaved around the home, not particularly standout sinful. Despite all of these things, this was Amelia's situation. She was dead. That language of death is quite significant, isn't it? Imagine someone at the back of the room. I've seen Ross, so poor Ross, I'm going to pick on Ross. Imagine Ross just keels over, sorry Ross, at the back of the room. And a doctor in the room, don't know if I can see Dave here, but there's hopefully a doctor in the room. They rush over to Ross and they say, oh, I'm so sorry, he's already died. What are we going to do? Are we going to call up the GPs and book him an appointment? Are we going to take him and give him some medicine, see if it makes a difference? Are we going to go and find a defibrillator and see whether it'll work? Well, no. If he's dead, he's dead. There's nothing to be done. And that's the description we get of our situation without Jesus. Probably some of us here like to think of ourselves as morally healthy. We're pretty decent. We do the right things. We try to live according to the Bible, maybe, or at least that inner sense of what's right and wrong. The Bible doesn't say you're healthy. It says you're dead. Some of us might feel, well, okay, I'm a bit like someone who's unhealthy. And maybe someone who's got some obvious problems. And yes, I've got to grit my teeth. I've got to work a bit harder to sort my life out. Well, no. The Bible says you're dead. It doesn't even say you're on your deathbed. It's now or never. This is your last chance. No, it says you are already dead. You are already beyond hope. That is the description that is given. Now, for Amelia, it's important to remember that that's the situation she came from. As we go on in our Christian lives, we can start to think, well, I'm a decent person now. Maybe I earned my way to heaven. Or on the other side, as you grow older in your Christian life, you can become more and more aware of the sinful desires that work within you. And you think, oh, what if Jesus just gives up on me? I'm so terrible. I'm so wrong. But actually, it's vital for those who are already Christians to remember how bad the situation was. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. We had no hope whatsoever. Only when you see how bad the situation was can you see how glorious the salvation that Jesus brings is. Now, there's some of you here this morning who don't know Jesus. And I want to be open and transparent with you. You might be fearing as you walk through the door today that as you listen to this sermon, I'm going to try to convert you. And that is 100% what I'm trying to do. I'm 100% trying to do that because this is how bad your situation is. If it's true, then you don't want me to be dodging this. You want me to be telling you how serious this situation is. You are without hope unless you turn to Jesus. Now, you might need to look into this a bit more. You might need to see whether it's true or I'm just some crazy man shouting at the front of church. But sure, you've got to understand that if this is the situation, you're not just unhealthy, you're not even on your deathbed, but you're dead. Well, then maybe this Jesus is worth finding out about. My testimony is very similar to Amelia's. I grew up in the church. I was a good boy, generally speaking. There were no dramatic sins. And so I tried time and time again to trust in Jesus. But until I realized how bad my situation really was. I couldn't see my need of a saviour. So Amelia was dead. And that was the case for everyone in this room. Dead. But Amelia was made alive. Not alive when she went under the water. That water didn't make her a Christian. We were symbolizing something else that happened. She was made alive with Christ. Let me read verses 4 to 5. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. We were dead, so what we needed was not just a bit of medicine, we needed to be raised. And thankfully, that is what the Lord Jesus did, didn't he? He died for Amelia's sin and then rose from the dead. And so when we trusted him, the Holy Spirit did that in our heart. He raised us from the dead. We were hopeless without God. But he brought the Lord Jesus to pay the price for our sin and raise us up to new life. But it's more amazing even than that, because it goes on in verse 6 to say, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. One of the great blessings of the gospel is that when we die, we can go and be with God. We can go and be with Jesus. And as Amelia said to us before, when she was younger, she didn't really look forward to the idea of seeing God with her own eyes, of being with Jesus. But that's something that's changed. But this isn't talking about when Amelia dies. This is talking about now. There is a sense that Amelia has already been placed with God in heaven through the Lord Jesus. Her ticket is sure. It's not that God can turn away and decide he doesn't want Amelia anymore. She's already there in Jesus. She's just waiting to have it fully revealed. Now, why did God do all of this? I think sometimes Christians can make it sound a bit like a business transaction. You repent of your sin and then you get heaven. Job done. But actually, that would be to miss the most important words in this section. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. God isn't some accountant who's like, excuse me, have you trusted in Jesus or not? Yes, no. Great, fine, through to heaven. Doesn't care. Nor is he someone who needed to be persuaded by lovely Jesus to forgive Amelia's sins. No. God loved Amelia before the creation of the world. He loved her even while she was a sinner, rejecting him and turning away from him. He loved her so much that he gave his only son, the most precious thing in the universe, to him. He's not stingy in mercy. He is rich in mercy. He has a compassion that knows no limit. Amelia will never love God as much as God loves her. That is why she's been given this salvation. That is why he gave her baptism, so that she could have that remembrance, that thing to look back on and remember, yes, God loved me enough to send his son to die for me and rise me from the dead. That is what God has done for Amelia. She has been raised from the dead with Jesus by God's love. And that's the case for you as well. Perhaps you're a bit like Amelia described herself being at the kind of start of the story. Maybe willing to repent, maybe seeing a few wrong thoughts in your own heart. And that's good, but in a sense it's only halfway. It's a bit like someone who's realised their problem, but hasn't yet gone to the doctor. They've not sought the solution. The great news is this. Anyone in this room, no matter how terrible they are, no matter how much rejection of Jesus they have done all through their lives, they are welcome to come to the Lord Jesus. He has a great love for you. He has a rich mercy which knows no limits. And he will raise you together with Christ from the grave of your sin to new life in him, and even to those heavenly places. There's one last thing to say, though. We said that Amelia was dead. We said that Amelia was raised to new life. But there's one other thing Paul talks about in this passage that I want to emphasize. And that's that Amelia was gifted. Now, I don't mean gifted like gifted and talented, you know, like she got A stars in her A levels and what have you. I mean that she was given a gift. It goes like this in the passage. It carries on explaining why God did this. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. We've got grace, we've got grace, and we've got gift. And all of those words mean basically the same idea. Grace is an undeserved gift. A reward is something that you've earned because of your works. So imagine this. Imagine a window cleaner comes around to ours on Monday. They clean all the windows and they knock on the door. And I give them however much money they're looking for. That's a reward. They have earned their money. Imagine, though, that a window cleaner comes along and on his window cleaner device, I don't know what you call those things, is loads of mud. And as he goes around my house, he just smears mud on the windows. And at one point, he falls over and smashes through a window. And I come to him at the end and he's saying, I'm so sorry, you don't have to pay me. And not only do I give him his money, I give him a tip as well. That's what grace is. Amelia has done nothing to earn God's grace this morning. God didn't say, well, I saw some potential in Amelia, so I thought that I'd give her grace in Jesus. She's done nothing. In fact, it even describes there, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. So grace and faith, the whole kit and caboodle, everything about Amelia's Christian life is a gift from God. And so he goes on to say, not by works, so no one can boast. Amelia can't walk around with world's best Christian badge on now because she's been baptized. All of this was a gift. It was something God gave to her, though she didn't deserve it. And maybe you're thinking this morning, well, it's all right for Amelia, but I've done some pretty terrible things. I could never be saved. Well, that would be the case if it was by works, if you had to get a reward. But if it's a gift, all you need to do is accept. It goes on to say, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's not that now Amelia's got dunked and so she can go off and live the life the way that she wants to and do all kinds of sinful things. That would be a bit like someone who has a liver transplant after having been an alcoholic for many years going straight back to the bottle. No. God has created in Christ a new person in Amelia, not a perfect person yet, but a person who desires to do what is glorifying to God. And so over her life, we should start to see how she's transformed by the Lord Jesus. She's not the girl that she once was. But similarly, this is all God's handiwork. This is all from God as well. This is a gift, not that she can boast in, but that she can be privileged to enjoy in the Lord Jesus. So that's the situation for Amelia, and that's what we remember today. We remember that she was dead in her transgressions and sin. She had zero hope, but that in Christ she was raised from the dead to new hope in Jesus. And we remember that all of this was a gift, not something that Amelia deserved, so that she couldn't boast, but an undeserved gift that was from Jesus and Jesus alone. I hope, Amelia, that you remember all of those truths, that you remember that you died in Christ, that you were dead in your transgressions and sins, that you remember the great love that God showed towards you, his rich mercy, and that you remember that all of it was a gift, even the good works that will later come. And I pray for every Christian in this room, as we look back on our own baptism, that we would remember, if we start to think we're great, we'd remember that we were dead. If we start to think we're a hopeless case, that we'll remember that we've been raised with Christ. And that when we sing praise to God, we'll remember that all of our salvation was a gift from God's hand, a gracious and undeserved gift. And if you're sitting on the outside this morning and you're thinking, what does this all mean? Here's a simple truth. Without Jesus, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. You have no hope. But God sent his Son into the world to live a perfect life on your behalf, to die a perfect death on your behalf, to be raised on the dead from your behalf, so that in faith in him, you may be saved. Trust in him. Accept that gift. And then, like Amelia, you too will be raised to new life, not being able to boast, but being able to rejoice in what Jesus has done for you forevermore.